Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks, and we'll begin today with questions about the possible use of excessive force by police in Nashua, New Hampshire, a case that involves local officers as well as state police from New Hampshire and Massachusetts. At issue, a disturbing video shot at the end of a 60-mile car chase that began in central Massachusetts yesterday and ended in Nashua. It shows the suspect climbing out of his truck and dropping to his knees to surrender when officers move in and start punching him repeatedly. New Hampshire Attorney General Joseph Foster has launched an investigation into whether police used excessive force against the suspect, who was Richard Simone, who was wanted on assault and larceny charges. Here's Governor Charlie Baker after seeing the footage today.
I thought the video was incredibly disturbing, and I'm anxious to work with the folks in New Hampshire to get moving on the investigation and to figure out what's what as quickly as possible and take the appropriate action.
The New Hampshire State Police has put one of its troopers on unpaid leave pending investigation into the incident. And WBUR senior reporter David Boeri was in New Hampshire earlier today following the case, and he's with us now. Good to have you, David.
Hi, Anthony.
So briefly, remind us how this car chase started and what happened.
It started in Holden, Massachusetts, with involving Richard Simone, a 50-year-old. Police had what's called a BOLO, a be on the lookout. For him, there was an assault and battery, a warrant for assault and battery with a dangerous weapon. They see him in Holden. They started after him. They give pursuit, high-speed pursuit. It starts at 4. It ends about an hour later. And boy, does it end in Nashua.
Right. And it ends. And we heard Charlie Baker there saying he thought that video looked incredibly disturbing. A lot of us have seen it. It does look pretty disturbing. I mean, why don't you describe, in your words, what this video shows precisely?
Well, it's interesting because not only there's not just one video, but many videos, because all of Boston Television was in the sky in their news helicopters yesterday looking at it from various points. Now, you have to qualify things by saying, yeah, you get a view and you can zoom in, but you're still up in the air, so you don't have everything and you don't hear what takes place on the ground. However, we see Simone get out of his car, out of his truck, his pickup truck. He assumes the position, goes to his knees. There are three or four police officers with their guns trained on him. In addition to them, all of a sudden, two other officers come in, and the first one comes in and leads with what looks like a roundhouse right, and that begins the punching. It lasts anywhere from 11 to 17 seconds of punching. It's clearly punching. The Lowell Sun calls it a pummeling in today's paper. And so it ends there after about 17 seconds.
Right. Now, Richard Simone, the suspect, was arraigned in Ninth Circuit Court this morning in New Hampshire. You were up there. What happened? I mean, I guess here's the interesting question that I want to know. Did he look like he'd been beaten up?
You know, there are no obvious signs, no real clear signs on his face of injury, although afterwards, looking close up at the video, I could see that he's received three stitches in his left ear. There was dried blood in his ear, and there was a red mark at the corner of his lower corner of his left eye, a red mark. We don't know whether he had that when the chase began, whether he had it after his truck hit a telephone pole, or whether he got it from the police officers. He came in, he waived his right knowingly, willingly, intelligently, waived his right to fight extradition, which means, and the judge made it clear to him, that means he'll be held without bail. And so he did that. He signed the warrant, but before he signed the warrant, his lawyer wanted to talk to the judge at sidebar. It was confidential. We did not hear it. But afterwards, the lawyer made clear that he wanted to seek medical attention. So at the end of the day, we don't know whether he's gotten the medical attention, but he was in Nashua, and he's signed off on the extradition fight, so he's coming south.
David, we have just a very brief update here, but an important fact. Massachusetts State Police say we have identified the trooper involved in the arrest, relieved him of duty pending an internal hearing, which is scheduled for tomorrow. So they're referring to the Massachusetts State Trooper, and this should be pointed out, there were New Hampshire State Troopers, Massachusetts State Troopers, as well as local Nashua police, right?
That's right. And we have what's clear here, yes, people talk about adrenaline, but of course the challenge of policing is for police officers to control themselves, to act in a disciplined manner. And there's also part of a group effect here. One police officer throws a punch, the others join in the punching. It can be, you know, there's a parallel to what happened in Watertown after the terrorist incident back in 2013. Somebody thinks he hears a gunshot coming from that boat where Zahar Zanayev is hiding. Somebody thinks he hears a gunshot, he fires, and then there end up to be 200 shots into the boat, even though there was never a shot fired and not even a gun in the boat.
Right.
So there's that also that group think or that group dynamic that has to be dealt with here. But they've obviously acted quickly with temporarily suspending the two police officers, whether they name them or not, which is customarily they take a long time in doing, and they fight that, we'll find out.
And customarily, what needs to be interrogated in a case like this? I mean, how do these cases go forward, and how long a time frame can we expect?
Well, you need to interview everybody that was on the ground. Every police officer who was there in that situation needs to be interrogated, but they also need to be interrogated and then questioned with regard to the video and using the video to cross-reference what they're talking about.
Yeah. You know, David, it's interesting. There's a broad, as we know, sort of national context here. This comes at a time when police use of force is very much an issue that is front and center. And FBI Director James Comey said yesterday that he believed the use of video cameras and the viral video effect was leading to less aggressive policing, but that doesn't seem to be the case here.
He said this before. He said this before, and people have spoken against him, and they've criticized him for that and presented with evidence. Certainly what happened yesterday on live television with multiple cameras will not be evidence for what he's claiming here.
Well, we have a link to that video at radioboston.org. It certainly is troubling to see, but obviously complicated factors have to play themselves out here. WBUR senior reporter David Boeri reporting for us live. David, thanks so much for coming in.
You're welcome, Anthony.